Lecture topic, deflate your ego from the crave for fame. Part 2.
The first stage of fame is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors a person divinely. He doesn't aspire for it. He doesn't campaign for it. He doesn't market himself. He doesn't desire it in any way. He got appointed as a trustee, as a rector, as a person in charge, as an official, in any official capacity. But from within, he had absolutely no aspiration. The fame, the honor, the privilege, Allah favored the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam with, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Those who obey Allah and do the righteous deeds, Allah will instill their love in the hearts of the pious across the world. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting with Jibreel, and Abu Zarr radiallahu anhu walks by. So Jibreel alayhi salam said, هَذَا أَبُو ذَرٍ لَوْ سَلَّمَ عَلَيْنَا لَرَدَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ. O Prophet of Allah, is that not your companion Abu Zarr? There is he going past? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So Jibreel said, if he had to greet me, I guess he didn't identify me, because obviously he was in the form of a sahabi. We would have also answered his greeting. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in astonishment, أَتَعْرِفُهُ يَا Jibreel? Jibreel, do you know Abu Dharr? He said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا. I swear by that Allah who has sent you as a prophet, Abu Dharr is more famous on the heavens than the earth. He is spoken about there more than here. Wallah, my brother, you develop taqwa, your name will not be in the circles of the businessmen. Your name might not be, my young boy, in the circles of the girls or the chat club, but your name will definitely be in the circles of the malaika. And that's what we need. Our name to be in the circles of the malaika. So that is the first form of an honor and a privilege that Allah gives. The second is where a person is given fame, but through the human intervention. So few people elected him, few people, but here still there's no campaigning and there's no aspiration. I don't want to be the Amir. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to be the trustee. No aspiration from within himself. And these are maladies that I can't diagnose. Hazrat Tanwi alayhi rahmah has written, many people give off a flavor of humility, but it is more severe than blatant arrogance. Many people give off a flavor of humility, but it is more severe than blatant arrogance. He says, the man says a superficial way, you know what, I'm a humble servant, I'm a nothing. He says, people say this so that it prompts the opposite response. No, no, my brother, you're a great man. Who said you're a nothing? That's why they say it. And he said, if you want to put it to test, when he says he's a nothing, said, of course, you're a nothing, my brother. You're dead right. You are a nothing. You are a Nachiz, you are a Haqir, Faqir, whatever you want to call yourself. So he says that this is a flavor of humility. You know, I read in one kitab one amazing thing. They say tawadhu and humility is the only quality which if you possess, it's the only bounty which if you achieve, nobody will be jealous for you. Every other quality, they are jealous people. But if you acquire humility, there's nobody jealous. Today we are after pride and fame. The entire world is jealous. What is the fame of today? وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. Every man has been honored so that I save myself against his fear, against his evil. So that's the only reason why I honor him, so that I can protect myself against his evil. So the second one is where there is human intervention. This is different compared to the first fame in two ways. In the first one, it is divine from Allah, you cannot refuse. And it's divine from Allah, there's no human intervention, and you don't have a choice of accepting or refusing. In the second one, it has human intervention, you can accept or decline. The scholars say this is a bounty provided two things happen. Number one, you know you will serve the cause diligently. That I am going to be appointed. I actually heard someone saying he was elected as a member in a particular school. So I asked him, I said, brother, you think you will able to do the job? He said, whether I do the job or not, at least my children's fees will be reduced. So that's one of the perks of sitting on the board. One of the perks of sitting on the board is my children's fees will be reduced. So whether I do it, that is now khiyanat. If you know you will serve the cause correctly, A, and B, it will not negatively harm my deen, then only it is a bounty from Allah. Now let's just look at our pious predecessors. How they detested taking on position. How they distanced themselves because they appreciated the responsibility. Today, unfortunately, that's not the eye. The malady has reached the roof. The crave, you know, in English they say, fame, if you cannot control it, it becomes a flame and it burns you. Ja'far ibn Mansur told Imam Abu Hanifa, you will have to become the judge. So Imam Sahib said, Rahmatullah alayhi, that no, I'm not going to accept the post. So he said, I insist you accept it. So Imam Abu Hanifa said, I don't fit the profile. So Ja'far ibn Mansur said, you are a liar. He said, if I'm a liar, all the more I shouldn't be a judge. There was silence in the court. If I'm a liar, all the more. How dare you make a liar a judge? Today I read one amazing thing about Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi. Allah give us the tawfiq to read these lives. Whenever he would spend money on his family, إِلَّا أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَهَا عَلَى غَيْرِهِمْ مِنَ الْفُقَرَىٰ. Whenever he spent money on his family, he would spend the equal money on poor people. So whatever money he spent on his family, let me put a proposal to you, my brother. We go out to eat a meal. We spend 300-400 rand and we find it difficult to give a beggar 2 rand after that. Whatever money Imam Abu Hanifa spent on his family, the equivalent he spent in charity. In the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, the post was vacant and they needed to get someone to accept the position again as the qazi. So this thing concerned him, who can become the qazi? So he spent his whole night restless. Bata Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn Abdul Aziz laylatahu ariqan musahhadan lam yaghtamid lahu jafnun wa lam yatma'inna lahu jambun. He was very worried and concerned, disturbed and perturbed, who will come forward? So in the morning, falamma asbaha da'a Adi ibn Artat wa kana yawma idhin waliyan ala Dimashq. He called his governor Adi ibn Artat, who was in charge of Dimashq. And he said, Ya Adiyu, ijma' bayna Iyas ibn Muawiyah al-Muzani wal-Qasim ibn Rabi'at al-Harithi wakallimhuma fi amri qada'i al-Basra wa walli ahadahuma alayh. Listen, man, you know what? We need somebody to take on the post. But nobody wants to accept it. So I thought of two great names. We got Iyas ibn Muawiyah and we got Qasim ibn Rabi'ah. You gather them, engage them, and then I leave it to your discretion, one of them is to accept the post. He said, Sam'an wa ta'atan ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's a done deal. He gathers them and he says, Inna Amir al-Mu'mineen atala Allahu baqa'ahu, amarani an uwalli ahadakuma qada' al-basra, famadha tarayan. The second quality, where when there's human intervention, I don't want it. I mentioned in the beginning the words of Hazrat Shaykh alayhi al-Rahma. He said, the last melody that leaves the heart is the melody of fame. I heard this from a scholar in the UK. He says once when Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi came to the United Kingdom and thousands of people had converged and congregated, And when he sat on the minbar, he started sobbing profusely. So there was pin drop silence. There were thousands, literally tens of thousands of people just to get a glimpse of him. May Allah Ta'ala reward my honorable father. I was a young boy when Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali came to South Africa. I was 6 years old at that time. And I recall distinctly we were brought and we stood there just to get a glimpse of his blessed face. And that's the time you see in honor that at this age where the creation comes in numbers and in droves and in scores, in multitudes to literally touch the man for a second. So he said people had converged and he started sobbing. So somebody went up to him and said, Hazrat, what is the reason? He says, there's a hadith that really gives me a shiver. Nabi Sassam had said, "Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha ad-din bir-rajul al-fajir." That there are many times Allah will promote his deen at the hands of evil people. I have this inner feeling that you have come here to learn deen, and Allah is promoting deen at the hands of a wicked man like me. I feel I'm the victim of this prophecy. Now our notion is, when I am engaged in the learning of hadith, then I say, نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي. I'm quoting the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, those who learn deen, Allah will preserve them and Allah will give them prosperity. And when others are occupied in the learning of deen, then I say, my brother, be careful. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will promote deen through evil people also. So I direct the privileges to me and the warnings to others. Here he sits when thousands converge, and this is the flesh through his mind. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu ascends the pulpit. And while giving the Jummah khutbah, he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَنَا أَرْعَى غَنَمْ. You know what, folks? I must tell you, once I remember, I used to take the animals for grazing in one of the meadows here outside Makkah during the khutbah. So after the khutbah was over, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf came and he said, عِبْتَ نَفْسَكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Amir al-Mu'mineen, with utmost respect, but I think you insulted your honor. And it wasn't befitting of you to tell us what you did in your previous life, you know, in your past. He said, حَدَّثَتْنِي نَفْسِي أَنِّي أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, when I stood and I seen these numbers and I seen the glory, there was a flash of ego that told me, Umar, there's none like you. I needed to hit it hard and remind myself in this audience, humble beginnings, I started as a shepherd. When Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, some young girls made the remark, Al-an la tuhlabu lana manaihu darina. Al-an la tuhlabu lana manaihu darina. Gone are the days where Abu Bakr will milk our goat. He's now Amirul Mu'mineen. Abu Bakr called that girl. He said, what you said, my little girl? He said, with utmost respect, I said, now you're sitting high. You're flying high. Who will look at us? He said, I hope from my Allah this position doesn't alter my approach with the general masses. Nay, it strengthens it for the better. How these people disciplined themselves at that time. Hazrat Tanwi alayhi rahma, it's written in his mawa'iz. He said, listen people, I'm going to tell you something today you heard from no one. Then he said, wait. That's sheer arrogance. In the congregation he said it. Forgive me, I have made a claim in my statement. I retract from my words and I openly apologize. My crime has been open, my tawbah is open. How these people were concerned to detect the maladies of their heart. So anyway, coming back, he gathers these two prominent scholars, these two personalities, Iyas ibn Muawiyah and Qasim ibn Rabi'ah. And he says, إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ طَالَ اللَّهُ بَقَاءَهُ أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُوَلِّي أَحَدَكُمَا قَضَاءَ الْبَصْرَةِ فَمَاذَا تَرَيَانَ. I have been given the task that one of you have to accept the post of becoming the Qadi of Basra. What's your opinion? فَقَالَ كُلُّ مِّنْهُمَا عَنْ صَاحِبِهِ أَنَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهَذَا الْمَنْصَبِ مِنْهُ. So each one said, listen, O Adi ibn Artat, my brother is a better person. He says his brother is better. In present day political terminology, those are rivals. They don't look at one another. They're fighting for a common post. But here there was no fight. So he said, you know what, give it to him. So he says, no, you give it to him. وَذَكَرَ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَذْكُرُ. And each one said, this man's taqwa is amazing. This man's piety is subhanallah. Now, that's another point that I want to touch on. When the Muhajirin made hijrah to Medina Munawwara, and the Ansar poured their hearts out. So the Muhajirin one day said, O Nabi of Allah, will there be any share of reward left for us? The Ansar did everything for us. Nabi alayhi salam gave a formula by virtue of which, if we complement our activities, we might be occupied in one action, but we can have a reward in all. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا دَعُوتُمُ اللَّهَ لَهُمْ وَأَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْرٍ. Allah will give you a reward of the Ansar as well, provided you make dua for them and praise them. You might not physically be present, but because you salute their actions, you include them in your prayers, in the eyes of Allah, you recorded in their virtues. Now imagine if we can pluck up and master the courage and look beyond our bickering and our differences and rise up to complement all the movements of Haqq and understand the source is one. عِبَارَاتُنَا شَتَّى وَحُسْنُكَ وَاحِدُ وَكُلٌّ إِلَى ذَاكَ الْجَمَالِ يُشِيرُ. The poet said, oh my Allah, our expressions might differ, but your beauty is one. Some will invite and prove your greatness. Others will imitate and prove your greatness. Others will convey the message of Quran. عِبَارَاتُنَا شَتَّى وَحُسْنُكَ وَاحِدُ وَكُلٌّ إِلَى ذَاكَ الْجَمَالِ يُشِيرُ. Everybody echoes it in a different way. So they started praising one another. Then Iyas ibn Muawiyah said, Adi ibn Artad said, لَن تَخْرُجَا مِن مَجْلِسِ هَذَا حَتَّى تَحْسِمَا هَذَا الْأَمْرَ. You people can carry on praising one another, but till one of you don't accept it, you're not moving. So decide how long you want to sit and praise one another. No campaigning, no speaking ill, no condemning. This is another thing. To up myself, to market myself, I start condemning others. I start probing the flaws of others. That is why when Salma ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi, his son asked him, he said, oh my father, there are so many ulama, to who should I align myself? To who should I link myself? Inna ashyakhana kathirun fabiman naqtadi minhum. It's not a hasty move that you got to make. If a person wants to do a transplant, he has to look for the common blood group. There's so many commonalities between you and the man whose kidney you will be taking. Then only can we do the transplant. My brother, you want to put yourself at the feet of a scholar by virtue of which your spiritual reformation can take place. It takes time to find the right scholar. But if you're passionate in your search, Allah will unite you with the right man. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, from where to where he went till he came to Medina, and his gaze fell on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, اقتدي بمن يخاف الله في ظهر الغيب ويعف عن التلبس بالعيب ويصلح نفسه في أوان الصبا ولا يرجع ذلك إلى عهد الشيب. Listen, oh my son, track down that scholar, track down that sheikh, hunt down that alim who in addition to fearing Allah in his public life equally fears Allah in his private life. وَيَعِفُّ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ التَّلَبُّسِ بِالْعَيْبِ. And he keeps himself away from probing the flaws of others. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا وَنَهْجُو ذَا الزَّمَانَ بِغَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانَا دِيَانَتُنَا التَّصَنُّعُ وَالتَّرَائِي وَنَحْنُ بِهِ نُخَادِعُ مَنْ يَرَانَا. نعيب زماننا. We blaming this one and that one. والعيب فينا. Where is the defect lies with me. وما لزماننا عيب سوانا. One day when Hazrat Ji Mawlana Inam al-Hasan rahmatullah alayhi was told about certain people that have become murtad and have abandoned Islam, he started crying. He said, by Allah, what is spreading in the world because of evil is as a result of my wrong. Is as a result of my wrong what is happening. So Iyas ibn Muawiyah said, okay, let me give you a solution. Sal anni wa anil Qasim faqihay al-Iraq. Muhammad ibn Sirin wa Hassan al-Basri. فَهُمَا أَقْدَرُ النَّاسِ عَلَى التَّمِيزِ بَيْنَنَا. That listen, I'm telling you, appoint him. He's telling you, delegate me. I've got a good way out. There are two giant scholars here. Why don't we approach them? Namely, Muhammad ibn Sirin and Hassan Basri. Now just listen to this here. It's subtle. It's intricate. Iyas ibn Muawiyah's vision was that my friend Qasim, he was affiliated to those two scholars. So he deliberately mentioned the name of those mashayikh to whom his brother had an affiliation, that obviously وَكَانَ الْقَاسِمُ يَزُورُهُمَا وَيَزُورَانِهِ. Qasim was in and out by those two scholars. So when you'll ask Muhammad ibn Sirin and Hassan Basri who should be in charge, because he is bad to those mashayikh, they will obviously advise in favor of their disciple. Consciously he used the name of the mashayikh of his friends. Today we say, no, I'll call my mufti. I'll get my opinion. Here he's saying, let's go to his. That also tells us that despite being the person of his caliber, yet he had intense relation and he had intimate contact with these great scholars. So Qasim realized that Iyas is coming in a subtle way and he's going to send this man here to Muhammad ibn Sirin. Then obviously Muhammad ibn Sirin is going to say, I must become the judge. So he said, wait, listen, as you said, we need to resolve it now. By the time we get there, we'll be wasting time. So listen to me. لا تسأل عني ولا عنه أحد فوالله الذي لا إله غيره إن إياسا أفقه مني في دين الله وأعلم بالقضاء. فإن كنت كاذبا فما يحل لك أن توليني القضاء وأنا أقترف الكذبة وإن كنت صادقا فلا يجوز لك أن تعدل عن الفاضل إلى المفضول. He said, listen, let me tell you the truth. I swear by Allah, my brother is more competent than me and I take a qasam and an oath. He is more skilled, more competent, more articulate than being a judge than I. If I'm speaking a lie, then how dare you make a liar a judge? And if I'm speaking the truth, then do the right thing. If I'm speaking the truth that he is better, then do the right thing. And if I'm speaking a lie, then how dare you make a liar a judge? Now, what I'm saying is what extremes they went to shun this fame, to shun the platform, to avoid the glory, to avoid the camera, to avoid the fame. And we campaigning and marketing and promoting ourselves. It comes with a great responsibility. So Iyas bin Muawiyah didn't sit and take this and say, okay, you got me. He says, okay, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Adi, let me have the final word. Then it's your call. He says, okay, go for it. Now what are you going to tell me? What an amazing dialogue. He said, إِنَّكَ جِئْتَ بِرَجُلٍ وَدَعَوْتَهُ إِلَى الْقَضَى فَأَوْقَفْتَهُ عَلَى شَفِيرِ جَهَنَّمْ فَنَجَّى نَفْسَهُ مِنْهَا بِيَمِينٍ كَاذِبَةٍ لَا يَلْبَثُ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ مِنْهَا وَيَنْجُو نَفْسَهُ مِمَّا يَخَافُ. Listen, O Adi ibn Artat, I stand by what I say, my brother is more competent than I, but today Allah forgive him, he did speak a lie. Today he has made a mistake and he has spoken a lie. There's no two ways about it. But he was wise. He opted for the lie in relation to the other crimes he would have committed if he assumed position. And I have no doubt after this gathering he will be making tawbah to Allah for this lie. But he sneaked out of the equation so that he does not bear the burden of the crimes to come in position and not discharge the obligation. So I'm telling you, he is a liar, he is better than me. When Adi ibn Artat heard this, he said, إِنَّ مَنْ يَفْهَمُ مِثْلَ فَهْمِكَ هَذَا لَجَدِيرٌ بِالْقَضَى حَرِيٌّ بِهِ. You know what, I'm still marveling at the first discussion, and you could read into his words, then that tells me you're smarter than him, jump on. You are smarter than him. So the second position is where somebody appoints you, provided you don't aspire for it, and you will do good to the cause, then this is a ni'mat from Allah. The third form of fame is what has become the order of the day, where you passionately desire it by night and day, you promote it, you desire it, you campaign for it, you rally for it. This is obviously a sin. It is unlawful. There is only very, very certain circumstances, the like of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, when he said, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. Make me in charge. Make me in charge. I have the necessary qualities. It goes without saying, in the presence of a Nabi, how dare somebody else assumes the position. So at that time it was correct, it was aptly justifiable, it was precisely correct for him to praise himself and to require or request the position so that he can do a service to the position. So those are the three levels. The first one is where Allah favors. The second one, with human intervention, provided two things can be found, it's a bounty. And the third is unlawful and impermissible. Then comes, as I mentioned, the dispensation of fame. Just as there's the acquisition of wealth, there's the dispensation. So many people can earn their wealth correctly, but they will dispense it wrongly. Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi Hazrat Ji used to mention, the only thing I am asking the people to realize is that their time and their wealth belongs to Allah. In a summary, in a nutshell, it is a trust and an amana. One form of dispensing your fame and your authority is to impress upon the people to obey Allah. By virtue of your fame, you use it constructively that you bring people close to Allah. That is the ideal platform of fame. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Sahaba in the Quran. الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Those people that if Allah gives them power on this earth, if Allah gives them dominion, if Allah gives them rulership, what will they do? أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ آتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ نَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They will seize the platform of honor and leadership, and they will bring people closer to Allah. Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say, ثَنَاءٌ قَبْلَ بَلَاءٍ. Allah has praised us before giving us the position. Allah has complimented us before subjecting us. So that's the ideal thing. But today I'm afraid, the abuse of honor is where, as a result of my fame, I start imposing in the private lives of people. It's correct for me to intercede. It's correct for me to request. But there must be no reproach on the man who doesn't comply. So because of my profile, I tell a person, regardless of who I am, do this, arrange this, confirm this, do this, whatever it is. This individual feels obliged because of my fame, because of my profile. That is khiyanat to the jar. And the best example to cite was Barira radiallahu anha and Mughith, the famous hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Kitab al-Talaq, where Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ يَتُوفُ خَلْفَهَا فِي سِكَكِ الْمَدِينَةِ. I can still see Hazrat Mughith radiallahu anhu walking behind Barira radiallahu anha. Now obviously she was a slave, and during her period of slavery, the nikah was performed and she was wedded to Hazrat Mughith radiallahu anhu. But when she gained her independence and her liberation, she opted out of the marriage, she annulled it, because it was done while she was a slave. So it was her prerogative. It was within her jurisdiction. She exercised her matrimonial and her rights which was afforded to her. This Sahabi, however, had intense love for her. The Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Abbas, أَلَا تَعْجَبُ مِنْ حُبِّ مُغِيث بَرِيرًا. O Ibn Abbas, are you not shocked? Are you not amazed? Are you not astounded to see how much love Mughith radiallahu anhu has for Barira, yet the same is not found on the reverse? So Nabi alayhi salam pitied the situation, and in Fathul Bari, I read it myself, in Fathul Bari under the commentary of this hadith, there are amazing points that have been deduced. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam out of his own interceded and told Barira radiallahu anhu, Barira, لو راجعته, I really pity your husband. You don't want to reconsider and go back into the marriage. The man is really, really depressed. So Barira radiallahu anhu said very clearly, O Prophet of Allah, is that a command? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, no, it's not a command. Then Barira radiallahu anhu said, then I have no need towards him. Now look at the profile. There cannot be a higher profile. The greatest human. But there's no abuse to the honor. And it's mentioned in Fathul Bari. From this we learn, La lawma wala ghadaba ala al-mukhalif walau azuma qadru al-shafi'. La lawma wala ghadaba ala al-mukhalif walau azuma qadru al-shafi'. That if a person of high profile intercedes and the opposite party declines, there must be no reproach and anger, no victimization on that individual, then it is correct to intercede. Otherwise, you are exploiting your honor. So again, just to recap, these are two distinct maladies. And like I mentioned in the beginning, we need to sit by the mashayikh and learn from them. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahimahumullah, nawwar Allahu marqadahu, he says that one day when I just graduated, I picked up one of the writings of Maulana Muhammad Thanwi rahmatullah alayh. Not Maulana Ashraf Ali rahmatullah alayh, who was also in the same khanka. So I picked up one of his writings and it disturbed me because I obviously had a counter view to the article. So immediately I got on and I arranged for my travel and I got there to Thana Bhawan. And first I met with Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayh. So he inquired from me the reason of your coming. I said, no, I have come here because I've been very disturbed by the writings of this man and I need to speak to him and I want to level a healthy discussion with him. So Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah said, a profound scholar like that, you've just recently graduated. Do you think you have the muscle to challenge the man and to take him on? He said, and he cast a gaze of love and affection, and in minutes my objections were cleared. Anyway, we got close and I sat down with him. I had just brought basic clothes to spend a day. But I got there and I prolonged my stay and I spent 40 days there. After my 40 days, I went back and there was a period where there was no real communication. So after a period had lapsed, he wrote to me and he said, you know what, it's been days and months. There's been no contact. Just inquiring about your whereabouts. Is all okay on your side? Like, unfortunately, we drop in a woman an email. Haram, and we know what it does. One person came to one of the mashayikh, and he said, I have this evil weakness. Actually, he was a scholar. To give you the explicit incident, he was a scholar, and he came to Hazrat Thanwi alayhi rahma. He was an alim, and he came, and I've read this in his writings. And he said that I have studied my ilm, but I have a major problem with controlling my gaze. So please advise. So Hazrat Thanwi alayhi rahmatullah, listen, you have to master courage. You have to really pluck up courage and you have to constantly focus on the beauty of Allah. Even if it means yahtamilu zuhuq ar-ruh. The letter to this person was in Arabic. It's a brilliant answer he wrote. Yahtamilu walau bitakallufin shadidin yahtamilu zuhuq ar-ruh. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَيُّورٌ. Listen, my scholar and my brother, I write to you. You have to pluck up courage and you have to resist the temptation even if you fear that you will die in the process. Don't succumb. Even if you fear that if I don't chat, I will die. وَلَوْ بِتَكَلُّفٍ شَدِيدٍ يَحْتَمِلُ زُهُوقَ الرُّوحِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَيُّورٍ. Allah is bashful. Allah is full of honor. فَالْحَذْرُ مِنْ أَنْ يُغِيظَ الْمَحْبُوبَ الْأَكْبَرِ. Let it not be to impress this fake beloved, you offend the true lover. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi used to say, وَمِنَ الشَّقَاوَةِ أَنْ تُحِبَّ وَمَنْ تُحِبُّ يُحِبُّ غَيْرَكَ أَوْ تُرِيدُ خَيْرًا لِلْإِنسَانِ وَهُوَ يُرِيدُ غَيْرَكَ. The real misfortune of a man is, he is running behind someone and she is running behind someone else. How unlucky can a man be? وَمِنَ الشَّقَاوَةِ أَن تُحِبَّ وَمَن تُحِبُّ يُحِبُّ غَيْرَكَ. You infatuated, and the person over whom you infatuated, she's infatuated over someone else. أو تُرِيدُ خَيْرًا لِلْإِنسَانِ وَهُوَ يُرِيدُ غَيْرَكَ. Or you desire the good of a person and he desires the harm. So anyway, he said, I went back home, and then again we initiated correspondence. And when we initiated the correspondence, he inquired about my well-being, how's things. So I wrote back, you know, apologies that it's been long, we haven't been in contact. Now we know our Haji Bhai Padia rahmatullah alayhi, Allah fill his grave with noor. Allah elevate his stages in Jannah. We all are indebted to him. I haven't seen anyone who passionately promoted the need that there should be close contact with the ulama and the mashayikh as much as he did it. Till his last breath, those were his words. He lived by it, he promoted it, he exhorted. He said, I must write to you and tell you, Haji Imdadullah, that when I spend 40 days by you, with the grace of Allah, I achieve three things. Number one, in your company, the obedience of Allah became my nature. It became my nature. So just like I have to eat and I have to drink, I have to obey Allah. I had not achieved this during my period of studies, but when I sat by you, then this is the first thing that I accomplished, that Islam became my fitrat. The second thing that I achieve is the best thing, that if somebody praises me, it doesn't inflate my ego. If someone criticizes me, it doesn't deflate my ego. So the one praising me and the reproacher, both are equal for me. I can take an insult on the face, and I take a praise also. I don't fall for the praises. I don't get offended by the criticism. And the third thing that has happened with the grace of Allah, in your company, I no longer have doubts on any orders of Allah. I don't have a doubt or a reservation or a question mark or an objection towards any order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he heard this, he took the letter and he put it on his head. He said, the disciple has surpassed the mentor. He said, the disciple has surpassed the mentor. رُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. رُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. Nabi alayhi salam said, convey the message. Sometimes those people to whom you convey, they promote it even further than to those who it was conveyed. Obviously, we are running out of time. The message is quite clear, brothers, that let us take the reformation of ourselves serious. We've got to discipline ourselves, reflect over our sins. They say, alamatu shaqawati arba'a. I read this in the kitabs. Alamatu shaqawati arba'a. The signs of a wretched man is four. Number one, nisyanu dhunub al madhiya wa hiya 'inda Allah mahfuza. To forget your past sins as if you never committed it, whereas it's well documented by Allah. To forget your past sins, whereas it's well documented. My brother, today they call you Amir. Today they call you Sheikh. Today they falsely call me Molana. They call you something else. I know my past, you know your past, my brother. The sign of a misfortune man is that he forgets his past, while it's well recorded by Allah. And that then there are certain sins which we know. There are those sins which we don't even know and don't consider as sins. وَلِي بَقَايَا ذُنُوبٍ لَسْتُ أَعْلَمُهَا الله يعلمها في السر والعلني. ما أحلم الله عني حيث أمهلني، وقد تماديت ذنبي ويسترني. تمر ساعات أيامي بلا ذنب، تمر ساعات أيامي بلا ندم ولا خوف ولا بكاء ولا حزن. The poet says, in fact, as the Sheikh has mentioned it in his kitab at the end on death, that these are my sins which I know, not to speak of those sins which only Allah know, and I haven't classified it as sins. Like often, you know, when we take the car to the mechanic, we say, you know, I have this problem. But when he gets in the engine, he says, that's your smallest problem. You have 10 other problems. He says, okay, now what? You go to the doctor and you say, I got a headache. He says, never mind the headache. Your blood pressure is high. I need to hospitalize you. So those are the experts. They know regarding my health better than I know. The poet says, these are my sins which I know. Allah, you know that which I haven't even counted as a sin. How can I ever repent from it? So the first thing, nisyanu dhunub wa hiya inda Allahim. Nisyanu dhunub al-madhiya wa hiya inda Allahim mahfuda. The second one, dhikrul hasanat wa huwa la yadri aqubilat am ruddat. To constantly harp on your performances, whereas you don't know if Allah has accepted it or rejected it. That's a wicked man. That's a wretched man. He's a misfortunate man. He's talking of what I have done. وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي أَقُبِلَتْ أَمْ رُدَّتْ. Whereas he doesn't know the truth. And the third is, وَالنَّذْرُ إِلَى مَنْ فَوْقَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالنَّذْرُ إِلَى مَنْ دُونَهُ فِي الدِّينِ. To look at those who earn or have more than us in this world, and to look at those who are less pious than us in the world, and deceive ourselves that we are pious. I haven't even touched the melody of the love of wealth and the love of this world. We've briefly spoke about the crave or hankering after fame. But really, again, so much has been said here, and by virtue of zikr, and by virtue of associating ourselves with the pious people, this will give us an opportunity to reflect and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Fortunate indeed is the one who purifies the soul. And خَابَ, he is a loser who has destroyed the soul and who has not rectified the soul. So, two things I want to appeal. One is the need to be associated with the ulama. Like I said, look for the scholar of your choice. Those of us that are associated, let us forward it. Let us establish it. You see, if I say I have a relation, but I don't develop around it, it defeats the essence. So I had maybe established a contact with a person. Somebody came to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi and he said, I request your dua. So he said, I make dua, Allah must give good to every Muslim male and female. So he said, no, Hazrat, me khususi dua chahta ho. He said, khususi dua ke liye khususi taluk rakho. If you want a special dua, then keep a special relation. So what I'm saying is, build on your relation. If you establish the relation, but you don't contact, you don't inform, you don't seek advice from your scholar, from your mentor, then what is the use? Every day in Nizamuddin Markaz, we hear the elan, jo yaha aya aur ijtimai amal mein shirkat nahi ki, apne aap ko aya hua na samjhe. If you came here and you did not participate in the collective actions, don't claim you came here. If you are established with a sheikh, with a mentor, you are not relating to him, you are not confiding with him, you are not putting your life before him, don't claim you are bad. So what I'm saying is, associate ourselves with the ulama. And what is it? It's to develop the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's to develop the sweetness of iman. Ahlul layli fi laylihim aladhu min ahlil lahwi fi lahwihim. Someone said, the spiritual ecstasy the pious get in making the zikr of Allah cannot be even compared to the fake ecstasy the disobedient servants get when popping pills in clubs. Ahlul layli fi laylihim aladhu min ahlil lahwi fi lahwihim. I end with this couplet of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh. He said, لَإِنْ كَانَ ذَنْبِي حُبَّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ فَذَلِكَ ذَنْبٌ لَسْتُ عَنْهُ أَتُوبُ هُمْ شُفَعَائِي يَوْمَ حَشْرِي وَمَوْقِفِي إِذَا مَا بَدَتْ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ خُتُوبُ. If my love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and my intense passion for his life constitutes a crime by the definition of others, then let me be emphatic, فَذَٰلِكَ ذَنْبٌ لَسْتُ عَنْهُ أَتُوبُ. This is a crime from which I will not repent. This is a crime. This is my pride. So by us associating ourselves, the idea is to change my life. The idea is to reform my life. The idea is to improve my life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we imbibe within us all what was said from Quran and Hadith. May He rid us of the malady of the crave of wealth and fame. May He rid our societies of these evils. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that which will prevail in Jannah. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. That Allah says we will remove malice and pride and antagonism. And as a result of the removal of all these spiritual maladies, strangers will become brothers. And with this understanding, they will enter into Jannah. Allah favor us with the reality. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.